Privilege to read God's word, and we're reading from 1 John. So if you have a Bible, now's the time to pull it. If you have a device, now's the time to pull it legitimately from your pocket now. And we're reading 1 John chapter 4, and we're starting to read at verse 12. That's 1 John chapter 4, starting to read at verse 12. Verse 7, I beg your pardon. Finishing at verse 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us.
Thanks, Simon. That was a bit hissy, isn't it? Give it a moment to set the level. Good morning, everyone. My name is Gareth Lowe. I'm one of the ministers here. Ooh, baby. Do you know what that's worth? Ooh. Heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. Let's make heaven a place on earth. Now, I don't know if you like Belinda Carlisle's slamming 80s classic or not. But I imagine you'd agree, love is important. Isn't love what we want? Don't we want to be loved deep down? Don't we need to be loved? As we think of children, what do they need? Most of all, a good education? It's helpful, but they need to know that they are loved. Now, there's lots of guests here this morning, and it's great to have you here. We really love that you've come. Could I just speak to you if you are never planning to come back again, never planning to come back to Christchurch, actually never planning to come to church full stop. You know, you've come kind of out of, because of a relationship you have with someone and you respect them and you want to support them, but you're not planning on coming back. That's up to you, of course. But I'd love to suggest that just for the next few minutes, I'm not planning on saying something so offensive that I think you're going to get up and leave. So you're probably going to be here for the next 15 minutes. Why not use that time as well as you can? I've been praying that these next few minutes might be the most important minutes of your life. They could be. Because we're going to hear about love. We're going to hear what love is. But even more special than that, we're going to hear, you are going to hear that you are loved. Not with a weak, wishy-washy love. Not with a love that's got a best before day on it. You're going to hear that you are loved. Not a little, but a lot. Actually, no, not a lot. More than that. You're going to hear that you are loved more than you can understand, more than you can imagine. That's what's on offer this morning. You are loved. Well, we're going to get the truth from the Bible. And particularly 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Hopefully it's going to come up on the screen. But I'm going to read it even if it doesn't. There we are. Here's the verse we're going to focus on for our time together now. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. All right, if you are new to church, there's quite a lot in there you're probably thinking, hey? Let me briefly just lay out a few things, particularly in that second half. It's not going to fully make it understandable entirely, but hopefully just give you a bit of things to be able to hold on to. I want to explain, sent his Son, atoning sacrifice, and for our sins. Is that still working? Yeah, thanks. Firstly, sent his Son. God sent his Son. Now, one of the things the Bible says is that God is different to us. Is that a surprise? Well, no, if you understand a little bit about the idea of God, that he is above the universe, he made everything and he keeps us going, he wouldn't be exactly the same as us. And one of the ways that God is different to us is, you like me, like everyone here, you're one person. You're just one person, and that's good. It's a good number to be, right? But God, he's different. He is one God in three persons. Maybe you're familiar with the idea of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what's happening here. God the Father sent his Son. You'll probably know his Son by his name, Jesus. Jesus came into the world. So that's what 1 John is saying, that God the Father sent Jesus into the world, who himself is God. God not like us. Three persons in one God. Father sent the Son. He came to live on earth. So that's the first bit. Father sent his Son. God sent Jesus into the world. Now then, atoning sacrifice. Sacrifice first. I guess we understand what that means. Something costly for the sake of something else. We give up something that we get a benefit. But what about atoning sacrifice? Well, to make atonement is to pay a penalty, to deal with a problem, to pay a debt. And that's what Jesus came to do. He sacrificed himself. You're probably familiar with the picture of the cross, the symbol that many Christians use to sum up their religion, to sum up our belief. And the reason the cross is central is because Jesus lived a perfect life and then he died on a cross. He was nailed to it. And the Bible says that wasn't an accident. It was a terrible thing that he did on purpose, to be an atoning sacrifice, to pay the debts. Whose debts? Where do these debts come from? God the Father sent Jesus to pay the penalty by dying for what? What does the verse say? For our sins. Now, sins is one of those words, or sin, you might say, oh, that chocolate cake is a bit sinful. When the Bible uses the word sin, it's very, very serious. It never jokes about sin. To use the language of this passage, sin is unlove. The Bible says we should love God. He made us, we should love him. He's our Father. But we haven't done that. We live our own way. He's the King, but we live as if we're the King. And not only that, we hurt others around us. The Bible tells us to love our neighbour. Love the people around us. That includes the people who literally live next door to you, but also the people you're with right now. The people you meet, the people you come across in your life, they are your neighbour, and you are called to love them as you love yourself. If you're honest with yourself, if you're anything like me, and I imagine you are on this front, you have hurt other people. Sometimes by accident, right? There's just lots going on, and you made a mistake, and next time I'll try and do better. But other times, worse than that, you've hurt people on purpose. Maybe only a small thing, but you've hurt them. Worse still, you've hurt those who are closest to you, those who love you, those whom you love. Unlove. And the Bible says that is sin. We have hurt other people, and that builds up a debt that needs paying. It's a penalty. There's a price to be paid. And God the Father sent Jesus to take that penalty, to die on the cross, that we could have our sins taken away. All right. That's the explanation of that verse. Having just sketched out briefly, I'd like to explore this a bit more with using a grid, a diagram, if that can come up on the screen. Thank you. All right, so some of us like diagrams, some of us don't, but I hope all of us find it helpful in varying degrees. So here on the left, this is the negative side. So these two boxes are negative, and these two boxes on the right are positive. Negative, and I'll fill in some examples in a moment so you can understand that a bit more. Negative and positive. And then on the side, we have action, doing something, and non-action, not doing anything. So for example, right, just bring it up. We all think litter is a bad thing. When you see litter on the floor, you don't say, brilliant. You say, negative. That's bad. All right, so litter, we notice litter, we see that it's bad. So we're on the negative side. If we pick it up and put it in the bin, action, right? We've seen something negative and we've done something about it. If, however, we see the litter and walk past it, we know it's bad, but we don't do anything about it. All right, this is just explaining the grid. This is not a message that we should all go out and pick litter. All right? But just explain the grid. Negative, action, non-action. Then on the left side, a charity appeal. We see a charity appeal. We actually have the money in our pocket, and we could put some money in. We think, this is a good cause. I have the resource. Action, put the money in the bucket. Non-action, walk by. Again, just explaining the grid. All right, so that's take those things down now. All right, I want to ask you a question, and I'd like you, if you don't mind, to turn to someone next to you. And I'd like you to talk to them and see between you, which of these boxes do you think is love? In which box or boxes do you think love is? Okay, which box is love? Turn to the person next to you. If you don't want to turn to the person next to you, that's fine. You can just sit and think on your own. I'll give you 60 seconds, so it's not going to be a long, long time. Which of these boxes or box is love? Ten more seconds. All right, thank you. I'm not gonna ask for answers. I don't want anyone to feel like they're being put on the spot. Hopefully you've got a bit of a sense of which do you think is love. Now let's see what God says love is. I said we're going to see what love truly is. Now we're going to find out. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, says the verse. All right, let's think about the negative side first. We're thinking negative means seeing that something is bad, seeing something and saying, that's bad, litter, bad. Does God see the bad? Does he sense negative? Yes, he sees our sin, our lack of love, our unlove. He sees that, all right, so he notices our sin. Does he then act or not act? Does he get involved? Does he shrug his shoulders? He acts. He says, that's wrong, and you can't come into heaven. You can't say everything's all right. This is wrong. He acts. He judges, the Bible says. He judges sin and says, that's wrong, and you've got a huge problem. You've got a debt, and it's going to have to be paid. So, we can see that love includes the top left box. It's not non-action, it's action. What about then, on the positive side? Does God look at us and see anything positive? Does he have any sense that something could be done? Yes, absolutely. He sees us. He cares for us. Does he do something? Yes. He loved us and sent his son. God the Father sent Jesus to pay the price, to pay the debt. So what is love? Here is the answer from the Bible. The love is the top two boxes. The top two boxes are love. Love involves action. Love involves action. It is not feeling by itself. It is not recognizing something as positive or negative by itself. It is seeing the good and seeing the bad and acting on both. So now we know what the opposite of love is. If I had asked you the opposite of love, what would you have said? I don't know, you might have said hate. You might have said hate. But actually, hate isn't the opposite of love, because love is involved with action. So the opposite of love is doing nothing, is indifference. That's the opposite of love, abdicating responsibility. And that makes sense. Can you think of someone you care about who's going through a tough time? Maybe they're sick now or in the past. Are you indifferent about that illness? Or do you hate it? Hate it. Right? Because it's hurting someone you love. And if you could take that sickness away, would you do something? You would act violently again. If that illness was a person, you'd fight them, wouldn't you? For the sake of the person you love. Hate is in the top left box. We see bad things and we act against it. God hates wrong things. Love involves recognizing the bad stuff and calling it out and acting on it. That's what God does. Now, it may be you thought, when we think about what love is, you were drawn to the top right box only. It's a nicer box, isn't it? Positive action. Nice box. Should God just be there? Is that what love is? Well, let me tell you. If God's love only was top right, he would look at torture. He would look at abuse. And he'd say, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything about that. It doesn't matter. Is that the sort of God we want? Happily, it is not the sort of God we have. God cares. If you are here and you've been hurt, maybe you are being hurt, God cares. He's not aloof and distant in a way that he just writes off, shrugs his shoulders, says of the person hurting you, doesn't matter. Looks at the system that's been set up that is oppressing you and says, it's okay. God recognizes the bad. He calls it out. And he acts. Love, the love of God, is action. Sees the bad and calls it out. But he also sees the good. And he acts. He sent his son. He sent his son. Let me ask you another question, just to answer in your own mind. Who loves you the most in the whole world? Who loves you the most in the whole world? Imagine you could see a status bar in everyone's heart about how much they loved you. Who has the fullest? I've got sons. They are very precious to me. I know many of the people here, and I'm fond of them. But let me tell you, I would not give up any of my sons for any of you. If it ever comes down to you or my sons, because I don't love you that much. I don't. What did God do? What did God do with his one and only precious son? He gave him up. He sent him to die. That is the love of God. Far greater than any human love you will ever experience, than greater than any human love you have. God loves you. One and only son. And remember, he wasn't looking at us and saying, how lovely you are. You're actually better than my son. No, he saw our brokenness, our unlove. And he said, I'm going to act. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to send Jesus to pay the price. In spite of our unlove, he gave us his only son. So let me ask you that question again. Who loves you the most? Who loves you the most? I'm aware I don't know many of your situations. And maybe there's something in your life you say, my life is so, in such a bad way, I can't see how my life and God's love go together. I don't have the answer for you. I don't know how those things go together. I don't understand how they connect necessarily. But I do know that God loves you. If he gave you his son, he has nothing else left to give. He has not withheld the highest good from you. He is for you. He is for you. He loves you. I don't know if you believe in the devil, but the Bible says he's real. He is a liar. And the biggest lies from the devil come against the greatest truths. Someone out there wants you to believe that you are not loved, which is a lie. God sent his one and only son. And the love of God is wonderful because the direction, one bit we've skipped over in the verse, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The direction of the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is not pull your socks up, sort your life out. Grace shared many things with us about God's goodness to her. It's not, we don't pull ourselves up to heaven. We don't sort our lives out. God saves us. He sends his son. And so you are loved more than you understand. You are loved more than you can imagine. What do you do with that? That's a pretty big thing to hear, right? What do you do with that? You accept it. Like you would with any wonderful gift. You just accept it. You grab onto it. Like a kid does. Not in the kind of middle-class British way. Like, oh, well, if you're really sure. You just grab it. Because it is so amazing. Why would you even wait? Accept it. There's not time to look at it now. It does mean a changed life, for sure, as we've heard again in that testimony. The next verse in verse 11 says, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So God's love changes us. We are never the same again. But because God has changed us by his love. As I wrap up, you can choose to reject this love. Like if I offered you a gift, you could say no thanks. You could throw it away. That is an option for you this morning, to reject the love that God has for you. And sadly, many people choose to do that. That is a tragic loss in every way. Because those who reject the payment of the price have to pay it themselves. And positively, they miss out on knowing that they are loved to their core. A love that will transform them and give them everything they need. Because God loves them and God loves you. God sent Jesus, his one and only son, to rescue you. That you might have the joy of restored relationship with God, with other people. Life will make sense for the first time when you know the love that God has for you. Because this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I pray for each person here that we would know the truth of this verse and that we would each be able to accept the love you have for us and that that love would transform us. Thank you for this time we've been able to share together. We pray you continue to be with us by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, as the musicians come up, let me just say, if there's anything you hear this morning you want to talk to us about, please do speak to me or to Simon or to Grace, maybe a Christian friend.